If you're able to stand, just out of reading the Word of God, if you could please stand. 1 John chapter 5, look down here at verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13 of 1 John chapter 5 says this, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to preach, and I pray that you'd help me with the message you laid on my heart. I want to be a help to these brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to help them in their spiritual life. And Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement to each and every one of us. I pray here this morning, Lord, if there be one that does not know you personally as their Savior, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict their hearts. And Lord, I pray that they would turn to you and put their faith and trust in you to save them. And Lord, I'm so thankful that when we come to you, Lord, that you promised to save us. And that, Lord, I pray that you do work in our hearts. I pray for Debbie, as she's teaching, that you'd help her and allow the young people to be able to glean from the truth of your word. And Lord, I also pray for these prayer requests that were mentioned. Lord, I pray that you'd answer them according to your will. I pray that you would help these situation. You know each and every one of them. You know all the details. And Lord, I pray that you would give the people that need wisdom, wisdom. And Lord, those that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that you would help us to be a witness to them and open their hearts. I pray for those that aren't feeling well and those that have cancer, Lord, that you would just help them and touch them. We know you're the great physician. And Lord, if it be your will that you take away these diseases that they have. And Lord, I just pray that you would answer them all. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I apologize ahead of time. I'm going to get some water with my throat. Amen. So we're in 1 John, not 2 John, not 3 John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. So we're talking about eternal security. We're talking about evidence of salvation. I have four questions. Well, I probably have four other questions, but I have 4 points today. I don't know how far I'll get through those points. But each point, there's a question. There's a question that's with it. So my first question is this, that point number one, or A, however you want to take your notes, if you want to take them, follow along, is what do we use as the final authority for our beliefs? What do we use as the final authority for our beliefs? Amen? It's a simple question. It should be a simple answer. But we can see here, look here at verse 11. I'm going to look at verse 11 and verse 13. It says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It says, this is the record. Jump down here to verse 13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Here it is, John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God was telling him what to write, and he says, here's the record. Here's what God wants me to write. And then later in verse 13 it says, these things have I written unto you. It wasn't John that was actually his thoughts and his minds that was writing. It was the Holy Spirit telling him what to write. Amen? So the answer to the question in reality is this. What is our final authority? It's God's Word. Amen? Everything that we base, what we believe, what we as a church, should be based on the Word of God. Amen? Now, again, no, let me explain that. Amen? Now, when we buy curtains, amen, in the church, there's not a verse in the Bible that will say, buy green curtains. Amen? The truth is, it gives it to the church, and as a church, we can decide what we buy. I'm sure there has to be a verse somewhere that says, no pink. Amen? I'm just joking. Amen? But the reality is, there's not a verse on that. Amen? But the verse that we can get from that is, it's the church. Amen? The church can decide. But the reality is, when we, our beliefs, what we believe, should be based on the Bible. Not my opinion. Amen? The reality is what we believe should not be based on opinion of the world. You know, the truth of the matter, it seems like things always change in the world. You know why? Because they don't base things on truth. Amen? They go back and forth on different things. The Bible says if you go back and forth, you're unstable in all your ways. And the reality is what we believe should not change. The truth of the matter is the messages that were preached hundreds and thousands of years ago, when you think about it, when our Lord walked on this earth, the truth of the Scripture never should change. Amen? Now, there may be different ways that we apply or to our lives. Amen? But the reality is the Scripture is always true. So that's why when you go back 100 years ago and you had some old-time preachers that was preaching, the message that they preached should be the same message that you hear today. There may be a different way that they bring it forth. Some people are more animated that they bring it forth. But the truth of the Scripture should never change. Because we base things, it should be based on the Bible, not my opinion, not your opinion, not on the latest books that come out, amen? One thing for sure is there's tons and tons and tons of books, amen? Don't base what you believe on books, amen? Base it on the Bible. Don't base what you believe as in Scripture based on your feelings. You know why? Because your feelings will change. There are some days I wake up and truth of the matter is, I don't feel like getting out of bed. Last night, the older that I get, amen, I have to go to bed earlier and earlier, amen. And there's going to come a time I'll probably get up at probably about 4 in the morning and go to bed around 8 in the morning, amen. I'll just have 2 hours, I'll be up and go back to bed. But last night I was up till 11 o'clock. Some people will say, well, that's not too late. For me, that's late, amen. The older I get, I'm thinking, whoa, 10 o'clock sounds pretty late, amen? And soon it'll be 9 o'clock sounds pretty late, amen? There's nothing wrong with that, amen? How did I get on that? I guess because I was tired, amen? So, but the truth is, what we base is not on our feelings. Some days I'm tired. Some days I wake up in the morning, and the truth of the matter is, my flesh may not say, I want to read my Bible. I don't base what I do. You should not base it on feelings. You should teach that to your children. Teach them characters. Amen. You do what is right, not because you feel like it or not because you don't feel like it. Because the reality is, if you don't feel like it, we wouldn't do a lot of things. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like being outside working a little bit outside. But I don't feel like weed whacking. Amen. But my neighbors are grateful that I do it anyway. Amen. Because they don't want to see a bunch of weeds growing. Amen. What I'm saying is, when we come to the Scripture, don't base things on feelings, how you feel today or how you feel tomorrow. Base it on the truth of God's Word. See, the Bible tells us in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The reality is this, God cannot, nor will He ever lie. He can. He's God. And the reality is, when God tells us something in His Word, it's going to happen. You know, the truth of the matter is, you remember, this has been before our time, but over 100 years ago, there was preachers that were preaching and saying, Israel one day will be a nation again. And there was people walking, because at that time, you go back to early 1900s, there was under 100,000 Jewish people in the land of Israel. You go back in the 1800s, you can look, there was less than 50,000 people in the land of Israel. But there would have been people up preaching and saying, one day, Israel is going to come back to be a nation. How did they know that was true? Because this Bible said it. Amen. In 1948, it became a nation. And matter of fact, right now, I think over 43%, that was back in 2013, 43% of all Jewish people live in the land of Israel. Why is that? Because God's Word is always true. Every single thing that God says is true. Why? God can't lie. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 119, 160, it says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. That's Psalms 119, 160. It says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. See, the reality is, what God says is true. It always will be. It will never change. This world, you can see, this world is constantly changing. What was wrong 50 years ago seems like it's right today. Amen? It's constantly changing. Why? Because this world is not basing their beliefs on the Bible. We should. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It means it's not changing. Amen. In Psalms 119, 152, it says, "Concerning thy testimonies," it speaks of God's word, "I have known of old that has founded them forever." Amen. They're never going to change. Amen. The truth is, if you go through and read the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalms 119, every single verse is God's word. Amen. Almost every single verse, I believe, other than two or three verses, mentions something about God's word. You'll see it in, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart," or "testimonies, thy law, thy covenant." You'll see that. But that chapter speaks of God's word. And different things which you'll see is this: He founded them forever. God's word is never going to change. So that way, when we base what we believe on the very words of God, you rest assured, you don't have to worry about it. It is never going to change. When I was a little boy, it's true, I was younger, amen, and I like running to people and say, "Oh, you're still young, and you're like my favorite friend," amen. The problem is, sometimes I run into children, they look at me and say, "You're getting older." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, I know, thanks for the reminder." Or my nieces or nephews, they kindly point out that I have this little spot that's in the back. I have to find out from the doctor what's happening here, amen. For some reason, there's hair that's missing. I don't know what's going on, amen. I think my wife is getting the razor out or something when I'm sleeping. Amen. And they're kindly pointing out, "Uncle Dan, you're losing some hair there." Amen. And reality is, I'm getting older. Amen. It's okay. Amen. I'm just going to get some spray paint and spray paint it, and we'll be all okay. Amen. I'm joking. Amen. I'm grateful to have hair. If God takes it away, that just means less money at the barber shop. Amen. So I'll be good. Amen. How did I get on that? Well, truth is, I'm getting bald. Amen. I'm getting old. But the reality is this: God's word never changes. When I was that little kid, that's how it was. When I was a little kid, I remember I used to like college football. I don't watch football now, but I used to watch college football. I had a team that I liked. Well, now, as I'm older, I really don't watch college football. Amen? Well, the truth of the matter is, why is it I liked the team one time? Well, the truth is because it's not based on Bible. It was just my opinion. We may sit down and debate. I like baseball. I could tell people about a baseball team. My team, I know I live in New York, and I like the Baltimore Orioles. I had a neighbor, it seemed like a lot of people up here are New York fans, and because it's New York, amen. But I tell people, my favorite team is the Orioles, right? And the truth of the matter is, that's an opinion, amen. Other people say, you know, the Baltimore Orioles are the best team. Well, they're not, amen. But it's an opinion. Someone, when they have a dessert, you know, I'll tell you, the best dessert is apple pie, amen. But that's my opinion. Now, it's a good opinion, amen. And apple crisp is pretty close to it, amen. And coconut. I don't know how people like coconut, amen. But there are some people like coconut. What I'm saying is, that's an opinion. When it comes to the Scripture, it's forever settled. This is not opinion. It's God's word. Amen. And we have to remember that. So what we base what we believe in, it should be based on Scripture. I want you to see the second question is this. Look here as we read 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. What did God promise in these Scriptures? What did God promise? You're in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. So this is what God promised. What did He promise? "And this is a record that God has given to us, eternal life, and His life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So there's a couple things you can see there that God promised, but the one thing I want you to see is, what did God promise? Look in verse 11. Eternal life. In verse 12, what do you say? "Has given life." It again speaks of eternal life. In verse 13, he says that you may know that you have eternal life. So what did God promise? He promised eternal life to those who come to Christ. Amen. Now, we'll go through of who it's promised to later, but that word eternal, this is not hard, folks. Amen. When you think about it, when you look up the words, there's nothing wrong looking up a good dictionary, amen. Now, you know what the amazing thing with words? They constantly change, amen. So the best thing to do is get the dictionary, amen, and get a good old dictionary. I like the Webster's 1828 dictionary. That's an old one. It's a little bit more expensive, but that's a good dictionary. When Webster did it back then, he was a Christian, and some of the words that he defined, he has Bible verses under it to help people that was there. And today, if you get a newer Webster's dictionary, they took out all those verses, to the best of my knowledge. But if you look up the word eternal, if you look it up with what it means in the Greek, if you look it up even in the dictionary today, the word eternal means forever. The word eternal means everlasting. The word eternal means without end. Everlasting. Without end. See, this is what God promised. God promised eternal life. Amen? The word eternal means without end. You think of that verse that most of us know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever, amen? That means whosoever. We are not Calvinists here. Calvinists will believe. Some people are destined for heaven, and some people are destined to hell, and there's nothing they can do to change that. Well, that's not scripturally. The Bible says, whosoever, amen? Anyone can be saved. It says, but that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God promised you everlasting life. Later in that same chapter in John 3, verse 36, it says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So what did God promise? Amen. God promised eternal life, everlasting life. What is everlasting life? It means without end. Amen. Look at what the Bible says over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Sometimes I go a little fast, so if I do, just take a reference down. If you have questions after the service, say something to me, and I'll answer any question that you may have. But look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll get my water. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look what the Bible says down here, verse 11. Verse 9 and 10, if you go through, he mentions different things. It says different things that people do, and some of us, we go through there, we probably did those things, amen? And then he says here in verse 11, and such were some of you. Now, I am not an English major. Amen. English was not my favorite subject. And I struggled in English, and still sometimes I look at the verbs and I struggle with that. And it's just, I don't know. I was a numbers geek, and I'll be the first to tell you, I love numbers, and I sit down and I enjoy numbers. Amen. Even on my day off, I love numbers from my other job that I work. But I do know this. This is simple. Such were past tense. Amen. Such were some of you. Amen. What you were in the past. Amen. But it says this. It says, but ye are washed. Present. What you are. What are you? It says, but ye are washed and ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So we can see here, it's no longer past tense, were. It's present. What it says as in are, it's saying what I am. And what is it? Wash, that word wash means to fully wash, to wash away, to cleanse, to purify. That's what the definition of wash means. Amen. My wife, She does the laundry, because if I do the laundry, I'm sure I would mess it up. There would be soap flying all over the place. And I remember a time when I was at college at West Virginia, and I had to do the laundry myself. I thought I had this very smart idea. And they had these big washing machines in the dorm that we're in. I figured, Miss Diane, that if I threw all my laundry in at one time, it would get done sooner. Amen. Well, I was out. I think get something to eat, and I came back when I was a freshman. Never said I was the smartest person in the world. Amen. And I came back, and next thing you know, there was a fire. Some fire people that was there by the washing machine, and there was a big herd of people there. And I'm thinking, they're either going to fold my laundry, or I did something I shouldn't have done. Amen. And they were there. Next thing you know, they're all looking around and said, "Who did the laundry?" And I'm thinking, "Oh no." Me. And I said, "What are you doing? You sure put all that laundry in there?" And it started a little smoke or whatever. And then here I am, an 18-year-old young boy, and they're telling me how to do the laundry. Amen. Because it sounded like I started a fire that was there. So it's probably a good thing my wife doesn't allow me to do the laundry. Amen. But when she does the laundry, she puts it in. She puts that, I don't know, the detergent that's in there, I don't know, Tide or whatever it would be, puts it in. And sometimes I'll be out weed whacking or mowing grass and I get some stains, and she'll put that stained stuff on. I don't know how she does it. Amen. And next thing you know, I get my clothes back and they're clean. Amen. For me, I would just cut them off or something. Amen. It'd be a little bit faster, save a little bit of money, do it that way. But anyway, they're fully washed. She puts, I don't know what she buys. Amen. You'll have to ask her. But it smells so nice when you get that. Sometimes we're going to hang her clothes out because I like the smell of it. And it's cheaper. Amen. You can save money. You put it outside. But I like the smell of it. And I get my clothes back. And I guarantee you, when I put them in the laundry, they didn't smell too good. Amen. But when I get them back, they smell so good. They're fully washed. See, the Bible says this: such were you. Amen. In the past tense. And what are you now? The Bible says you are washed. Fully clean. That word that's also mentioned there, sanctified. That word sanctified means to make holy. See, the Bible says what you are is holy. Now, the reality is there's different things when you read through the Bible. One talks about when Christ sees us, when he looks down from heaven because he sees Christ's righteousness, amen. Then God's eyes were holy. In our daily life, amen, we still sin, amen. The truth of the matter is you can live your best, and we should live our best for Christ, but we're still going to fail him, amen. But the reality is when God looks at us, because of the blood of Christ, we are sanctified. The Bible says we're holy, amen. Just reading what the Scripture says. The Bible says this, that we are also justified. That word justified means to render as just or innocent. It means to be free. It means to be righteous. Some people look at justify as just as if I have never sinned. See, the reality is what God's saying in His Word is this: you are washed. You're cleansed. Bible saying this, you are sanctified or holy. Bible says you are justified, just as if you have never sinned. Amen. Not on your own merits, but it's through Christ. Amen. Look at the Bible says over here to the book of Hebrews. We're doing a study in the book of Hebrews. Look at these verses in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Look down here what the Bible says. I won't go to every reference today because there's tons and tons of verses that we can go to. But look here what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. It says, "For by one offering," that was Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross. Amen. "For your sins, for my sins." Amen. "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." We know that word sanctified means holy. But that word perfected means complete. That word perfected means to make perfect. Now think about that. What the Bible's saying is when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your sins and for my sins, and then He was buried and rose again, His blood, it had to die. The Bible tells us very clearly in the book of Hebrews, it had to be a death. Amen? It talks about the testament and testator. It speaks of a will. You may have a will. It's a good thing to have a will. Because when you die, one of the things they'll ask is, do you have a will? And that speaks of a tester. And that tester, that will does not take effect until you die. Jesus Christ, it was given an example of, He was a tester, or He made a new covenant. And what was that covenant? Of grace, right? But when He made that covenant, so He had to die, but at the same time, He had to shed His blood. Amen? And we did that on our study on Wednesday evening. So when He died for us, was buried, and rose again, He paid our sin debt. And the reality is, when He paid it, He paid it in full. And the Bible says, for by one offering, His offering, He has perfected, made perfect, forever. Now you think about that. Forever. Perfected, made perfect, forever, them that are sanctified. See, the Bible's saying this. When you accept Christ, Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Amen. You see yourself as a sinner on your way to hell. Amen. You see yourself, there's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. You're not trusting in any other God. You know there's people that do that. The Hindus will trust in every single thing as a God. We have a missionary we support that goes to India. Hindus believe anything become a God. When they go and deal with people over the Indian people, and they tell them, they say, you must reject all your false gods. Because if they're in their minds, what they will do is they'll take a god, and let's pretend like this is a shelf that's here. They'll take their false god and just put it up on their shelf. And they believe everything can become a god. And when they deal with them, they tell them, hey, I want you to understand that no one else. There's only one God. Amen. There's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? And the reality is, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you see that you're a sinner. Amen? Repentance. That word repentance means a change of mind towards God and towards sin. Amen? It's not hard. Amen? You see that you're guilty, I'm guilty. You have a repentant heart, and you turn toward Jesus Christ, and you accept Him, that He became your substitute for your sins. The Bible says that you have eternal life. That day, the Bible says that you are born again. Amen? Remember when Nicodemus met Jesus in John chapter 3? Jesus said, you must be born again. It had to be a spiritual birth. And here it is, the Bible saying this, He perfected forever them that are sanctified. See, that day that you accepted Christ, God said, I promise you, I'll give you eternal life. God said this, He said, that day that you accepted me, that ultimately, that you are now perfected. Now, does that mean we'll never sin again? No, we will. Amen. That's not a liberty to sin, and we'll go through that through the scripture, what the Bible teaches us. Amen. But the Bible says this, that you're saved. Amen. That you have eternal life. That's not some one making things up. Amen. It's just taking what the Bible says. One offering, He has perfected. You are made perfect, amen, forever through Him. Turn back here to the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, we better get through three of the points this morning. You have to come back next week for the fourth point. How you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, there's evidence. The Bible is very clear. If you have these in your life, then you know you're born again, amen. Look back here in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, look back here through verse 11 and 12. Here it is, the third question. How do we receive eternal life? You know, God doesn't want you to be in the dark on this matter. God doesn't want you to go around and think, do I have life? Do I not have life? He wants you to know. Amen? And well, look what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. It says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and His life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's simple. How is it? The third question, how do you receive eternal life? Through Jesus Christ. You do not receive eternal life by joining a church. You don't. You do not receive eternal life by giving money to the church. You do not receive eternal life by being baptized. You do not have eternal life by keeping the commandments. The truth of the matter is the commandments, the purpose of the commandments was to show that you're guilty and I'm guilty. The book of James said if you fail at one point, you're guilty of them all. The truth is that's what the commandments did. They showed that we're guilty. Matter of fact, the book of Galatians said, if there was a commandment given that could give us eternal life, then we'd be saved that way. But you can't, amen. Those commandments say you do this and you should live, amen. If not, you're going to die. That's what the commandments, that's what the law, the purpose of the law was to point us to Christ, amen. But how is it eternal life? It's through Christ. It's not anyone else. There is no one else, no other name under heaven, but it's through Jesus Christ. My friends, can I tell you the question that most people would ask? I remember one time, I was at the company I'm working at. I remember the director of our warehouse sent an email out. And he sent an email about something, I can't remember for sure all the details with it. And I responded with him and said, if you have any questions, let me know. And I remember he responded and said, what is the meaning of life? Now you're in trouble. If you ask me a question, I could be at work, and I was at Bible college at that time, and I figured, I was thinking about it. I know this guy, I talked with him, and he asked. And I remember I responded with him, I said, you know, I went out on Google, and I was joking with him at the beginning, but then I got serious, and he would understand. I said, I went out on Google, and everyone knows what Google is, right? Amen. You can put Google in, website, and you put in, what is the meaning of life, and it'll give you like millions of responses, right? And I said, I went through Google, and Google gave me all these responses. And I said, but the truth of the matter is, I know what the answer is. The answer to the meaning of life is ultimately that you and I would realize ourselves as sinners on our way to hell and how Jesus Christ died for you. He came here to save you. And I said, the sad thing is, most people do not believe me. Right? And they don't believe in Christ. Amen. But the reality is, salvation is only through Christ. But the Bible says here in Romans chapter 3, how is it that we can be this way? Amen. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, down here at verse 21, Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. How is it that I can be someone who's guilty? How is it that I can be as a sinner that ultimately can be made holy? How can I be someone that's washed? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, Romans chapter 3, verse 22, that's where I'm at now. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. Verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we're all. We're all sinners, amen. It says, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be their propitiation. What's that mean? That speaks of substitute. Through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So these scriptures, these verses, we can see, what's the Bible saying? That you're guilty, and so am I. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nothing that I can do to earn salvation. It's kind of be like me if I went out and murdered someone. And I stand before a judge and I look before the judge and my lawyer gets up there and says, I want to tell you about Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan was a good guy. Pastor Dan surrendered his life to serve God. He did all these wonderful things. But he did one thing wrong. He murdered his wife. That judge will look at me, if he's a good judge, that judge will look at me and that lawyer and say, but he took a life. He deserves judgment. Any good lawyer would say, judge would say that. Amen? Now think about it. We would stand before God, and what is it what we could say? We could say, I did all these good things. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means we're all guilty. How is it that I can come holy? Well, the Bible says this, by His offering, His blood sacrifice. So when I accept Christ as my Savior, what the Bible's saying is this, when Jesus died on the cross, He put my sins on the cross. Amen. He was sinless, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He put my sins on the cross. He paid my price. I deserve that death. I deserve to go to a devil's hell. I deserve that. But Jesus loved me so much, He willingly said, I'll take your place. I'll become your substitute. And He died there, was buried, and rose again. And what the Bible is saying is this, when God looks down and sees me, He sees Christ's righteousness. That's not saying I'm perfect because I am not. Amen? But what He sees is this, that I've been washed. What He sees now is I've been sanctified. It's not what I have done. It's what Jesus did. Amen? And what the Bible is telling us, the way that we get salvation is through Him. That's why when you go through Scripture, it'll say that you became a child of God. Look over here, we'll end on this verse. Look over here at the book of John. In John chapter 1. So, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. Look down here. I'm going to read verse 11, 12, and 13, and then we'll close it out. I won't get through all my questions this morning. So you have to come back, if the Lord tarries, next week for the last one. Look here in John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto His own. We know this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His own received Him not. Israel rejected Him. He was the Messiah. They rejected Him. But He says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Amen. You receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. The Bible says that you become a child of God. It says in verse 13, which were born not of blood. So that refers to it's not in your family. My mom and dad are Christians. And the reason why I'm a Christian is not per se because I was born in a Christian home, not of blood. There's a lot of people that think that. They think, well, I was born into a Christian home, I must be saved. No, not of blood. It says this, nor the will of the flesh. So it's not because I was born into a Christian home, am I saved, nor the will of the flesh. That means something I did, not the will of the flesh. That means works. It says, nor the will of man. You cannot make me be saved. Amen? The truth of the matter is, I wish I could take someone and duct tape them up, amen, and somehow get them to be saved, amen. The truth of the matter is, it's a free gift that's offered to become a Christian. It's a free gift. You can't force it on someone, amen. You can't. It's a free offer that God is giving. It says, nor the will of man. It says, but of God. See, eternal life is only through God. Eternal life is only through Jesus Christ. See, the question I have to you today is, there's three questions I asked. The first one was this, what do we base what we believe on? Amen? Should be based on the Bible. Everything that we believe, amen, should be based on what God said. Because if you don't believe based on the Bible, you're going to be in serious trouble. What did God promise you? God promised you eternal life. Amen? That word eternal means everlasting, without end. Amen? How do you receive this eternal life? It's through Christ. Next week we'll finish the last point with it, but my question I have now for you is this. Have you received that free gift of eternal life? I can't force you to be a Christian. All I can do is preach the message. It's God who offers it to you. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Can I tell you, if not, you can do it today. What we'll do is we'll close in a word of prayer. And what we do when we close in a word of prayer, we have a time of invitation where everyone's eyes will be closed and where you can respond. And we'll have a little music that's being played. And you can respond. If you have questions, you can get it settled. Amen. And you can have someone show you from the Bible. Have you received Christ as your Savior? And can I tell you, Christian, if you are saved, believe what God said. He's gave you eternal life. Next week we'll talk about the evidence of salvation. How you can know 100% for sure of what the Scripture says. The evidence of salvation that you're born again. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time to be able to preach Your Word. I thank You for the patience of these people. And I thank You, Lord, for their willingness to come to Your house today to be able to hear the truth of Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each and every one that's here. Lord, if there's a question they have in their heart, I pray they get it settled. Lord, I pray that you encourage the Christians that are here, that they would take you at your word of what you promised, that eternal life. And Lord, I pray if there would be one, that they would come forward and make it known, and how we could show them from the Scripture what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. With eyes closed and no one looking, if you're able to stand, if you